You know, when we talk about current events, we have to bring to these microphones Dr. Rob Congdon. He covers the European Union, the European continent for us, and he gives us insight that helps us realize again, every time we talk about politics on this broadcast, it's simply for the purpose of helping you to realize how the prophetic scenario is going to come out of the political activities that are happening in our world. Rob, I want to talk to you about a lot of things, but the situation in Iraq is intensifying. ISIS is wanting to take control of the country, set up an Islamic Republic. The European Union was involved in Iraq during that time when the United States put the coalition together. A lot of debate about whether both the United States and European Union should have been involved. But the EU is now looking at the humanitarian cost in Iraq, and they realize it's a crisis. What do you think they're going to be able to do? I don't think they're going to put troops on the ground, are they? Are they just going to try to take care of the humanitarian needs?
They certainly are going to focus on humanitarian needs. I think, very importantly, a key EU source said that the partners just don't have the resources. They can't scale up even too much aid for Iraq at this time, let alone military aid. So I think what we're going to see, the way it is going, we're going to see a divided Iraq. We've talked many times about how these countries are going to divide into groups, as we see as part of a end-time scenario. The Kurdish element of Iraq and the two Islamic movements, the Sunni and Shiite, we could see NATO splitting. That seems like the most likely situation because I don't think the EU has the military and the U.S. certainly doesn't have the military and NATO isn't ready to jump back in. In fact, they've seemingly tried to avoid really discussing it. A lot's happening there. I think what we need to watch is, in particular, though, is how the country could be divided and what that means, especially in terms of our view of Ezekiel 38:39.
Yes, absolutely. We see the scenario unfolding very, very quickly in that part of the world. Well, before we leave the Middle East, as it relates to the European Union, European Union delegates went into the Gaza Strip, met with members of the Palestinian Unity Government, or their government that has been put in place, some ministers sworn in by Mahmoud Abbas, albeit the Israeli government. Prime Minister Netanyahu said he would not negotiate with terrorists, but it looks like the United States, European Union, they're willing to at least sit and talk with these people.
They are, and I think in terms of the EU, it fits very cleverly the way the EU works. They redefine terms. They have defined Hamas without question as a terrorist group. They have stood against it, dealing with it in any way, but now they're talking about, well, this is an interim government, and they're starting to play with words so they can discuss with them. Remember always, the European chief goal is to get peace in the Middle East, and they're willing to do that, no matter what that might mean to sacrifice to key countries, and in our case, our key interest would be Israel. So they're going to talk to them. They will see what they can do, and perhaps they're going to find how difficult it really is to deal with even this new unity group. And so time will again show us where it's headed.
I need to take you back to our conversation last week, Rob, where we talked about that what everybody was saying was an explosion in the election for the members of the European Parliament. But now the European Parliament leaders are telling Mr. Van Rompuy, who is the leader of the 28 member states, the council, they're telling him to nominate Juncker, the man that you think is very, very important in what happens there in the European Union. Talk to me about that race, these nominations, what's going on?
The definition of who becomes the commission president is very loose. It says in their constitution, if you would, they have to recognize the vote of parliament. The number of seats goes into which party, and they should recognize the party with the most seats in parliament. The recent elections certainly caused stirs in Europe, but the bottom line is that Juncker's party received the most seats in the parliament, so by that aspect of the constitution, he should become the commission president. Now, in the negotiations, which is probably the more important area, within the country leaderships themselves, Germany has gone behind Juncker, even though they're not really happy with his anti-austerity view. They've gone behind him. The other countries are falling in line. So I really think Juncker is very strong for EU. He's strong for a stronger EU, less sovereignty, a very conservative man in many areas. I think he's going to become the commission. And remember, the commission president is, the, in my opinion, the real voice of the European Union.
And bringing it closer to that empire that we talk about.
Oh, absolutely. We see that moving despite the shakeup through the elections and the groups that are anti-EU or want more power back to the local countries. The direction continues forward, and they're not going to be able to stop it. And we're seeing that a man like Juncker, who comes in, he has been behind the EU, stronger integration, which means stronger EU empire and the individual states to lose their power more and more. So when he takes the helm, we'll just see an onward movement regardless of the recent elections.
Rob, I hate to descend into a frivolous conversation, but indeed we've been very serious so far, and I have to look at reality. Most of the people in Europe have their focus on Brazil and the World Cup because many of the teams in Europe are participating in that World Cup. It seems like a sporting event can take our focus off of what are important things in the world, does it not?
Absolutely. You've hit it right on the head. The World Cup, when you're in Europe, that's the only conversations that are held, and even among the leaderships of the country. It is probably the biggest event of the year. In America, soccer, as we call it, is getting more popular, but the World Cup is the key issue of Europe during this time. Until it's over, other things are going to be handled as well. They're crisis. We got to look at them, but the focus is on sports and the World Cup.
Yes, in Brazil. Well, ironically, that is the case, but that's kind of a end time scenario as well. Pleasures of men being focused on the reality of life in these days. One final word about your book on Calvinism. We've been having some good reports on the book. How's the sales been going, and how would they get a copy of it?
Well, they've been going very well. The book is called Oops, I Thought I Was a Four-Point Calvinist. I have had pastors, pastor fellowships, churches, and individuals calling me to find out more information because this issue is very hot in the churches today. They can get this book, Oops, I Thought I Was a Four-Point Calvinist, which shows the dangers of New Calvinism's views and really the Biblicist position, which is a position that you derive from the Scriptures and nowhere else. They can get it at my website. That's www.congdonministries.org, congdonministries.org, and they can order it through that.
I love that title. Whoops, thought I was a four-point Calvinist. Anyway, that's a great book. You need to get a copy of it, my dear friends. Dr. Rob Congdon reporting to us what's happening in the European Union and how it is setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. Rob, thank you so much. We'll talk again next week.
Always good to be with you. Lord bless.